Today's Masechta Shabbos, Daf Nun Aleph. We will begin on Daf Nun Amud Beis, 9 lines from the bottom. It says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, Hai Slikusa. It's a Slikusa plant, dots of a shalfa, for Hada Dotsa. If somebody put it into the ground, took it out, and put it in again one more time, then the halach is that you can move that plant out of the ground on Shabbos. And we mean, and the Pashto Pshat in the Gemara, as we need not be concerned about Hilchas Muksa for moving the ground. That's the way we're going to learn the Gemara, and that's the way most Rishonim learn. Says the Mishnah Berurah, this is only if it was done twice. I put it in, I took it out, and I put it in again. But because by doing so, I have it adequately widened the hole, that if I'm going to take it out on Shabbos, I'm not going to be moving the earth, which is muksa. But Elav, if you didn't follow the above procedure, so then we're concerned that when you're going to take it out on Shabbos, you're going to be moving the muksa, and therefore you may not do so, then you would not be allowed to take out this plant on Shabbos. Amishmu, Haisakina debeni urba. If you have a knife that's stored between the bricks, dots of a shofar v'hada dotsa. If you put it in, took it out, and did it again, you're allowed to move it on Shabbos. V'laf, but if you didn't do so, then you're not allowed to move it on Shabbos. And again, the same reasoning. The earth between the rows of the bricks are muksa, and therefore by doing so, you could come to move muksa, and we have to avoid you moving muksa. The question, of course, is that even if you move the muksa by moving the knife, by moving the plant, why isn't that considered tiltum and atzad? So some say that this opinion that we're learning in the Gemara indeed holds that tiltum and atzad is considered muksa. There are other rishonim that because of this question, take a whole different approach to the Gemara. And they say here is that the concern is making a hole. If the hole is adequately big enough, so it's not considered that you made a hole on Shabbos, and therefore you could put the knife, the plant back in. However, if it wasn't inserted back and forth, that there's a concern that the hole, by putting it back in, it's considered as if you're making a hole on Shabbos. The Chasam Sofer along the same line, I saw, explains that the concern here is that if the hole is not well established from before Shabbos, we're concerned that the hole may collapse on Shabbos. And since we're concerned that the hole may collapse on Shabbos, that's why we can't move it. But in a place where the hole was established well enough on Shabbos, I don't have that concern, and therefore we're allowed to be more lenient. Says the Gemara, Mazut Ravitamer Ravashyama, Brigugosu the Tkanim, between the rows of the trees, Shapidami. There we could stick something into the ground, and we could put the knife there, and we don't have to be concerned from a machik. We discussed in our previous year that polishing something on Shabbos is a malach on Shabbos. Here, since you just stick it into smooth ground, that isn't considered memachik. Ask the Gemara. The Mishnah Masechta Kloyim, Perek Aleph Mishnah Memtes, speaks about a case where you had a vegetable that you're concerned shouldn't get dried up. So what they used to do to avoid vegetables from getting dried up, you put it back into the ground. And the question is, if putting the vegetable back in the ground is considered replanting the vegetable. There are many halachic ramifications with that question. One is, if you put the vegetable under a grape tree, you would have kalia kerim. If you put the vegetable in the ground in Shemitah, you would have a problem with Shemitah. If the vegetable grew more, then there would be a question, is the extra growth of vegetable mechuyev in trumas and maisris? For what grew extra. is there a problem on Shabbos of koitzer, of taking that vegetable that you stored in the ground out? Says the Gemara, Amalei Ramatcha L'Rava, asked the Gemara, Amalei Ramatcha L'Rava, Masa Rav Ketina Tiyufta, Rav Ketina asked a question from the following Mishnah, Masechta Klayim. The Mishnah, Masechta Klayim, teaches us, Hatoymin Lefes Utsnoinis, if somebody buries turnips or radishes, Pachas Agafen, under the grape tree, because that's where you want to store them. If Hayula mixes olive Megulim, if some of the leaves are still exposed, he's not concerned for any of the considerations that I just mentioned. That if this was stored under a grape tree, there's no problem that it should be considered klayim. If you did it in the Shemitah year, there's no problem for Hilchos Shemitah. And if it grew a little more, it's not considered that you have to take off meiser from the new part that grew. Then they tell them b'Shabbos, and if the leaves are exposed, then in Shabbos you're allowed to pull the vegetable out of the ground. By moving the vegetable out of the ground, you're moving the earth, which, as we started today's shiur, is a consideration of muksa that you shouldn't be allowed to do. What do we see? It's not a problem. The halacha is that you're allowed to move it. So why that you can move it even if you didn't put it in and take it out? So we see from here, says the Gemara, Tiyufta, that the halacha that we began today's shiur with is refuted. And even if you didn't put it in and out, the halacha would be you were allowed to be taken out from Erev Shabbos. Of course, the question is, why, how did Rav Huna not answer this question? One is that we're going to have to say the Rav Huna did not know this Mishnah. Of course, a very difficult, Tosfos says, it's of course a difficult pshat. Tanoim, Amoraim, Rav Huna and Shmuel were certainly expected to know all Mishnayis. Another teretz, which Tosfos says we're going to have to say Rav Huna held, that even though it doesn't say so in that Mishnah, he's going to have to hold that Mishnah is talking about a case where you put it in and took it out. Certainly, the Tosfos says that we have to be talking about a case where these vegetables did not take root in the ground. Because if they took root in the ground, then we could not be lenient. The Ran differentiates. He says, indeed, for Hilchos Shabbos, for that Mishnah to be lenient, it has to be talking in a case where the vegetable you put back in the ground did not take root in the ground. He says, regarding the other issues that we discussed, klayim, shvius, and meiser, he says, are very bechiddush. Even though these vegetables took root in the ground, still, since I only put them into the ground for storage, doesn't mean that they're considered growing from new in the ground, and there is no issue of klayim, shmita, and meiser. So our Mishnah goes back to discuss Hilchos Hatmona, and teaches us the Mishnah. Like Yisumi by Joim, if you did not do Hatmona before Shabbos, lo yichasenim shetechshech, then you may not do Hatmona once Shabbos comes. Two halachas to review. One halach is that once Shabbos comes, Hatmona is prohibited. And as we've discussed numerous times, not only is Hatmona prohibited on Shabbos, but Dover HaMoisef Hevel, Chazal said that even B'dovah She'ena Moisef Hevel, Hatmona that you start on Shabbos is Asur. However, we also learned the Gemara earlier in our Masecht on Daf Lamed Daled, that Bein HaShmoshes Hatmona, which normally we have to be strict and treat like Shabbos, the Gemara taught us on Daf Lamed Daled Amud Aleph, Rava taught us that you're allowed to do Hatmona Bein HaShmoshes. Why? Because the Gemara said that Stam Kederis are Rois Chesein. Stam Kederis are very hot Bein HaShmoshes. What's the reason Chazal were machmer on Hatmona? Because you may warm up your pot. You may Shem Yechata B'Gecholim. Bein HaShmoshes, we didn't have that concern. And therefore the Gemara said that Bein HaShmoshes Hatmona, certainly B'Dovah She'en HaMoisef Hevel, is Mutter. Another halacha. Kiso, you properly did hatmana from Erev Shabbos, v'niskala, and then whatever you did hatmana got uncovered. The halacha is, muta lachsoisoi, you could cover it on Shabbos again. And here too we have a machloikus rishonim. When exactly did this happen? Tosfos says that it got uncovered still before Shabbos. So normally, if I did hatman on Erev Shabbos, and then for whatever reason, I undid that hatman on Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, so now it's considered a whole new act. And as I said a moment ago, new hatmana may not be done on Shabbos. But if it got uncovered, not niskalsa, not by you, so even though when Shabbos came in, it was uncovered, since I did, says Tosfos, a proper hatmana Erev Shabbos, and I wasn't the one that uncovered it, that I'm allowed to recover it on Shabbos. The Sefer Truma disagrees. And he says, if it got uncovered on Shabbos, I'm not allowed to recover it. If I got uncovered Erev Shabbos, I'm not allowed to recover it. Our Mishnah is teaching us the following Hadin. If it got uncovered on Erev Shabbos, you have to recover it. If it got uncovered on Shabbos, then the halacha is that I'm allowed to recover it. And of course, I'm allowed to cover it, not if it's a Dovah Shein HaMois of Hevel, not only if it happened by mistake, but even if it happened deliberately. So why ask the Sefer Truma, does the Mishnah speak about a case of Niskalsa? The Mishnah could have taught us a case where I was Megalit, that I opened it, to teach us a Chiddush, that when may I recover it, if it got covered by it, uncovered by itself, only if that happened on Shabbos. But if it got uncovered by itself on Erev Shabbos, even though it was by itself, I didn't do anything, since it happened before Shabbos, I can't recover it. So again, we have a very big machlokes Tosfos in the Sefer Truma. According to Tosfos, if I did a proper atmana and it got uncovered by itself, I could recover it on Shabbos, even if it got uncovered by itself on Erev Shabbos. According to the Sefer Truma, if it got uncovered Erev Shabbos, no difference if by itself or deliberately, I may not recover it. And if it got uncovered on Shabbos, no difference if by itself or deliberately, I can recover it. Another halacha. Memala es hakitin. Somebody could fill a bottle with cold water. V'noisn on the tach sakar al kasas. You could put it under the pillow or under the blanket. And here was learning a new halacha, which we're going to discuss right away in the Gemara. The Gemara with the halacha now we're discussing is whenever we speak about atmana, whenever we think about atmana, we think about something hot. Here we're learning the halacha of being matman, something that's cold. And Rashi explains that what's the purpose I'm doing atmana on this item that's cold? I'm doing it to make that it shouldn't get hot. Now, it's just like there are items that are hot, I do atmana to keep them hot. So too, I do atmana on something which is cold to keep it cold. The Ramban and the Rashba say the purpose of this atmana is a different purpose, that I don't want to get something colder than it is. So that's already a type of atmana that is connected to heat. I don't want it to get colder. Still say the Ramban and the Rashba, that's still considered hatmanas dovet soinen, that the halach is that hatman of a dovet soinen is mutter. However, says Rashi, when we're learning that you're allowed to do hatmana with something which is cold, it's something like a pillow and a blanket that don't make things warm. But the other Rishonim disagree, and they say that if I'm being matman, something that's cold, I could use any material. So begins the Gemara, as we said, Amr Rabbi Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, Mutla Hatman as a Tzoynen, Yolada do Atmana on Tzoynen. One thing everybody agrees, a Dova Mois of Hevel, I can never use. Amr Rabbi Yosef, ask the Gemara, my Kamashmalon. Again, a concept that we said a moment ago. Amaroyim, new Mishnayos. And the Meroyim are not here to tell us what is stated in an explicit Mishnah. So ask the Gemara, Amar Rav Yosef, my Kamashma, Tanina. What we just said is our Mishnah. Our Mishnah taught us, Memala Adam Kitoin, Vidnoisa Tachas Akar Tachas Akesas. You could take a pitcher of cold water, put it under the pillow or blanket, and it's mutter. So what is Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel coming to teach us? Answers the Gemara, Amalei Abayi Tuva Kamashman. Dima Mesnisan Havamina Hanim Mili V'Dovashayin Darkin Lahatmin. You don't normally put cold water under a pillow and a blanket. That's why our Mishnah was lenient. Ava Dovash Darkin Lahatmin. Let's say you have a food. So the food normally you want to keep warm for Shabbos. For whatever reason, you want to eat this food cold, and you do atmana on this food. Maybe since it's a food that when it's hot, there's an issue with atmana. Then the halacha is that you're not allowed to, you should not be allowed to do atmana in a prohibited manner because you may come to make a mistake and do so even when it's warm. Kamash malan. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rebbe, Asal hatmana satzaynin. You're not allowed to do atmana. Ask the Gemara. V'ho Tanya, Rebbe, and again, we're talking about food, cooked food, not liquid. Ask the Gemara, for Tanya, Rebbe hit the lahatman satzoinen. Rebbe did allow to do hatman on something which is cold. Answers the Gemara, loy kasha. Ha mekamdil shamim Rebbe Shmuel b'Rebbe Yosi. Before he heard from Shmuel b'Rebbe Yosi that his father allowed hatman of any cold item, he was machmer on cold food. But after he heard from Mishmal Rabbi Yossi, the Rabbi Yossi was makel on cold food, he too was makel. Says the Gemara, Kehada Yosef Rebbe Va'omer, Rebbe was teaching us, Os lahatman satzoinen, you're not allowed to be matin cold food. Omel fan Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, Abba, my father Rabbi Yossi, hit the lahatman satzoinen. He did allow tzoinen to do atman on tzoinen. Omer, so Rebbe said, if that's what your father said, Kfar Hoy Rezokin, that's a psak of your father, which I will certainly accept. Comments the Gemara. Amar Papa, Bar E Kam Chavivin Zezeh. Let's see the wonderful relationship that existed between Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi. She'ila Rebbe Yossi Kayim. If Rebbe Yossi was still alive, Hayukaf V'Yoshel Fnei Rebbe, he would be subservient to Rebbe. Daha Rashmab Rabbi Yossi, Rashmab Rabbi Yossi, the Mamala Mokkama Voisov, he was the successor of his father Rabbi Yossi, was an individual who was Kafa for Yoshel Fnei Rebbe, because Rebbe was the Nasi, and since Rebbe was the Nasi, they showed incredible Derech Eretz to him. So Rabbi Yossi, too, were he alive, would have acted that way towards Rebbe. Yet, what do we find Rebbe says? The Kummer, still we find that Rebbe makes the comment, I have to respect Rabbi Yossi's opinion. So even though Rabbi Yossi would have shown respect to Rebbe, it would have gone the other way as fine as well. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Nachman Dori Avdei. He said to Rav Nachman, said to Dori, his servant, Atman L'Tzoynen, put away for me Tzoynen on Shabbos. And another situation, and as a Machlokes Rishonim, if this was one story that happened at the same time, or these are two separate episodes. Aisli Maim da Achim Kfeil Armo. We know there's Alocha. A Bishlakim. Food that's cooked by an Akim, we may not eat. But he said, this water that was cooked by the Akim, you're allowed to drink, there's no problem, Bishlakim. Shama Rav Ami, and we heard what happened, and Rav Ami heard these two Alochas, for Ekbet, and he was upset. Om Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says, "By Tam Ikbid, why is Rav Ami unhappy with these piske halacha? Krabasi Ovid. He, Rav Nachman, did exactly the way his rebbe taught us to do. Chodok Rav. In one place he acted like Rav taught us. For Chodok Shmuel. In one place he acted like Shmuel taught us. And the Gemara explains itself. Shmuel, he acted like Shmuel as we began this shiur today. Dom Rav Yehuda Shmuel. Not began, but what we just learned. Dom Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, Mutal Lahatman Satzoinen. That we, Kurav, we, Mutal Lahatman Satzoinen, that even food that's hot, food, we could, if it's now cold, and I'm being matminate to keep it cold, or whatever explanation we gave, it's permissible.
And where did he act like Rav? Dabar Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak Amar Rav, kol shunech k'moy shuchai, any food or beverage that's edible without cooking, the halacha is, ain by mishum bishlakim. When is there an isser or bishlakim? Only by a food that's not edible without the akum cooking it, without it being cooked. So if it can't be eaten without it being cooked, so there is a halacha of bishul akum, as we know. But in a situation such as ours of water, which of course we could drink without cooking, there is no issa bishul akum by water. So now the question is, why was Rav Ami upset at Rav Nachman for doing these things? He was following the halacha. Answers the Gemara, Adam Choshev Shani. It was a different situation. Rav Ami thought that Rav Nachman was an Adam Choshev, and an Adam Choshev has to be Machmer. Why does he think that an Adam Choshev has to be Machmer? He held that the halacha is stricter for an Adam Choshev. Another pshat that I saw was that Rav Ami was new to halacha, and the halacha is the same for an Adam Choshev and for a person who's not Choshev. Rav Ami was concerned that if people will see that the Adam Choshev is makel in these situations, so the average individual is going to say, well, if the Adam Choshev could be lenient in this situation, I could even be more lenient, which of course is not true. The halacha is the halacha. But because Rav Ami was concerned that people will take that attitude, that's why he wanted Rav Nachman to be Machmer. One more explanation that I saw. The Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah, and most Rishonim explain it this way, say that why is Bishul Akam Asur? Mishum Chasnas. If Bishul Akam is also Mishum Chasnas, that we wanted to avoid that Jews should marry non-Jews, so that's why Chazal made the Gzeirah Bishul Akam. If that's the concern, it was only made on food that is choshev. What's the definition of choshev? So as the Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah teaches us, two conditions. Either it's oilo or not oilo shalach malachim. If it's not something that's served on the king's table, so then it's not considered that choshev, and therefore we don't have to worry about bishul akam. Or the other condition that we learned in today's shir, if it's edible raw, it's not choshev, and there is no problem of bishul akam. However, there are rishonim that say there's another reason for bishul akam, because you may come to eat something that somebody cooked that's not kosher. So I saw an explanation once that that's the reason. If the concern is because of chasness, so the conditions that we just learned make sense. If the concern is that you may come to eat something non-kosher, and therefore we don't want you to eat from that house under any circumstances, then these conditions shouldn't make a difference. And what Rav Ami wanted to say to Rav Nachman, that maybe you should be machmer and consider these foods osur because of bishul akam, not just because of chasness, but because also the concern, shem yichalena davar tamei. To which the answer is that no, bishul akam is strictly also because of chasness and not for any other reason. Continues the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, afi sh'amru, ein tam nafil b'davish ein ha'mais of hevel, b'shech sheicha, that the halach is, as we said at the beginning of today's shir, that you're not allowed to do hatmar b'davish ein ha'mais of hevel on Shabbos, because we're concerned that you will find before you do the hatmana that your food is not adequately warm and you may forget and cook that food on Shabbos, warm it up on Shabbos. Still teaches us the Braisa, and Bala Hoysif, if you want to add a cover to your food on Shabbos, Moisif. That may be done. And explains the Braisa, what does that mean? Keitzur Oysa, what does that mean? Rav Shimon Gamliel Oymer, Noitel asasadinim, you could take the linen. Noitel asasadinim, you could take linen sheets, or maybe it's a glyphgrin, and you could put coats, something which is more dense on top of it. Or vice versa. Noitel as a glyphgrin, you could take off the coats, or meneich as ha sadinim, you could put on sheets. So, certainly, taking the glufgrin and putting on the sadinim is not a chiddush. Posha pshat. The chiddush is that even that you could take the thinner item and put on the thicker item. That's the opinion of the Rabbeinu Yoina. But there are other Rishonim that say that what the Gemara means here is by changing the material that you used for that mana, what you're really showing is that you're dissatisfied with the first hatmana. And if you're dissatisfied with the first hatmana, maybe that should be considered what I'm doing here as a new act of hatmana. And as we're learning, a new act of hatmana is certainly also on Shabbos. Teaches us the Gemara that you're allowed to do this. V'kenar Rav Shim Gamliel Oimer, Lo'yosru Ela, another halacha, Lo'yosru Ela Oysa Mechem. The food that was in the original Mechem, that in the original pot, you're not allowed to do at Mon on Shabbos. Avol, in Pinami Mechel Mechem, if you took it from one pot and you transferred the food into another pot, now the food is in a second pot, Mutter, you're allowed to put that second pot, do at Mon with the second pot, in something which is not Mice of Hevel. Why? Because as we said earlier, what's the reason that you're not allowed to do Hatmana B'dovah She'en Mice of Hevel on Shabbos? It's a Dovah She'en Mice of Hevel. It doesn't increase heat. It's not something that you're going to stoke. There's no coals there. It's a Dovah She'en Mice of Hevel. The answer is, as I said, we're concerned that you may come to warm up the food before you do that Hatmana. However, if you first transfer the food from one pot to another pot, says the Gemara, what happens when you transfer food from one pot to another pot? Akura kam makaroloi. The food, by definition, gets warmed up. So if the food gets warmed up, so I have to worry, asuchi kam asachle, that it's going to get, that I want to heat it up. I did something that shows just the opposite. And since I did something that shows just the opposite, I need not be concerned that I'm going to warm up the food. Another halacha, tamen v'kisa. If somebody did hatmana and he covered the pot, bedover hanitl b'shabbos, something that's not muksa, oi, tamen bedover she'en hanitl b'shabbos. He did hatmana around the pot with something that's muksa. V'kisa, bedover hanitl b'shabbos, but you did that, but you covered it with a material which is not muksa. Hareza noitl machzer. You could take off the covering because the covering is not muksa, and you could get whatever you need. You could take the pot out and then put it back in. However, tamen v'kisa, you did atmana, that means around the pot and the top of the pot. You did atmana with a material, bedovish en anitl b'shabbos, with a material which is muksa, or you should tamen bedovah anitl b'shabbos. Or even if you did atmana around the pot with something which is not muksa. However, the kisa bedovish en anitl b'shabbos, but you covered it with something which is muksa, imha yimagula miktsasa, if you didn't completely cover the pot, so the lid of the pot is accessible to you, noitel, so you'll take it with touching the pot in a place where there is no muksa, because you're not actually touching the muksa. Or machzer, and then after you take it out, you could put it back. However, vimlav, if it wasn't somewhat uncovered, ain't a noitel, you can't take the pot, or machzer, and put it back, because you have nothing to touch. Asks Rashi, in a situation where the pot around it, you have something which is not muksa, and only on top of it, on top of the pot, you have something which is muksa, why can't you just uncover the sides of the pot and hold on to the sides of the pot and like that, take the pot out? Like we had such a case, we'll have such a case later in the Masechta on Daf Kuf Mem Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara discusses there, Evan hamunachas al pi echavis, if you have a stone which is muksa that's on top of a barrel,
Shamtes achavis al tzidoy ve'enefeles. Just hold the barrel from the side, and the stone will fall off. And continues the Gemara there. V'mhoisa achava bein achavis. But if the next to this barrel, there's another barrel, and there's a concern that if you're going to do so, the stone will break your next barrel. The halacha is you could pick up the whole barrel and take it elsewhere and then pour off the stone. So why not say the same thing here? So Rashi answers that the heta that the Gemara teaches us there in Daf Kuf Mem Beis is only in a situation b'shecheach, where you didn't deliberately leave the stone on top of the barrel for Shabbos. But in a situation of miniach, where you intended to leave the stone there for the duration of Shabbos, that's when the stone becomes a bosses iser, the barrel becomes a bosses to the stone, and you can't pick up the barrel. And that's the same thing here. I deliberately put something muksa on top of the pot, therefore the pot becomes bosses ledover iser. And as the Meiri explains, if I completely covered the pot with something which is muksa, so then the pot, as we just said, becomes a bosses ledover iser. But if it's not completely covered by something which is muksa, then it's not considered a bosses ledover iser. And he goes on to explain, even though most of the top of the pot is covered with something which is muksa, since I didn't cover it deliberately with something which is muksa, what I showed was that I'm not interested that my pot should become a bosses ledover iser. And by doing this and showing that I'm not interested in my pot becoming a bosses ledover iser, that's why it's not. Others say that indeed, maybe we would become a bosses ledover iser. The Megini Shloima says this pshat. However, in a case where it's not completely covered by a dover or iser, and I have where to grab onto it without touching the dover muksa, then the fact that I have where to touch it, that is enough. Tosfos has a whole different approach. He says that this is not considered a bosses ledover iser. Why is it not considered a bosses ledover iser? Because somebody who's matmin the pot obviously wants to have access to his pot on Shabbos. And anybody who wants to have access to his pot on Shabbos, you can't say made the top of the pot a bosses. We learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Oimen Nurush Lepishtan Daka, that the strips of linen, Harei Kezevel, should be treated like Zevel and should be treated like something which is Mois of Hevel. Tells us the Gemara, a new halacha, Menichen Mechem al Gabi Mechem. And this is the way most Rishonim learn. There are Rishonim that learn that this Gemara is talking about Atmana, which would make sense to a degree, because we're in the middle of the Sugyas of Atmana. But the way Rashi, most Rishonim, learn that we're not learning a halacha of Hilchas Atmana. You have a pot that you have hot water on it. The halacha is menichen mechem al gabe mechem. You could put one pot that has hot water on top of another pot that has hot water, even though the bottom pot is on the fire, and therefore it's very hot. The halacha is you could put water, another pot with hot water on top of it. Others say that it's only mutter if the bottom pot is not on the fire. Kedera, agabe kedera. Again, the same halacha. You could take food in one pot and put it on top of another pot. Avloi kedera agabe mechem. A pot of food cannot be put on top of the mechem. Veloi mechem agabe kedera. Because in that case, the bottom thing is hotter than the top thing, and we have to be worried that it's nearer kamavashal, that it looks like you're cooking. And the only time it's permissible if it's, I'm doing it lishmar asachoyim, to keep the heat. So the way the halach lemaisa goes as follows, because this is, of course, a very important halach. If I have water, I have a pot of hot water on the fire, on the blech, and I want to put another pot of water that's not hot. The halacha is that yesh bishel acha bishel belach. Hot water, even if that water was cooked before Shabbos, I can't rewarm it on Shabbos. Certainly, if the water was never cooked, it would be asur, because that would be a new bishel. But according to the Shulchan Aruch, according to Beis Yosef, even if it was cooked, but now it's not hot anymore, I can't rewarm it on Shabbos. The Ramah is a little more lenient. The Ramah's opinion is that if it's still warm, I'm allowed to rewarm it if it was originally cooked. By food, the halach is as follows. If I have a pot with food on the blech, and then I have food which is once cooked, but now it's not warm anymore, now it's cold, but by dove yovish, ein bishel acha bishel, and therefore I could, and this is not a derech bishel, by putting food on top of a pot, therefore I could do that on Shabbos. What about a food which is primarily dry? A kugel. But there's some moisture. There's moisture on all food. But certainly there's oil on the kugel. Most places can take the opinion that since this is primarily a dry food, even though there is some moisture, it's treated like a dover yavish. Next halacha. V'toch es pi bebotzik. You could seal a pot with dough. Of course, we have to be talking about a dough which is not muksa. V'loy goes back to the Gemara. When we said we could put a mechem agabi mechem, b'shvil shi'chamu, you're not allowed to put it that it should get to a situation where it's going to get very hot. El b'sheh b'shvil mishmorim. You only can leave it warm, but you can't cook up the water on Shabbos. Says the Mishnah Berurah, that let's say you're going to put it on top of a pot where it could become yad, where it could get cooked, but you intend to take it off before, that's already asur. Another halacha, k'shem shein toimnim esachamim, just like we learned that the halacha is you're not allowed to do hatmon on Shabbos, even b'dover she'enem of hevel, kach ein toimnim esachamim, you're not allowed to do hatmon with something cold. Rebbe, as we started the shiur today, hit the lahatim in satzoinen. Now the Gemara goes into another subject. Vei meraskim, lois ha-shalik v'lois ha-barid. The halacha is one may not crush snow or hail on Shabbos, v'shvil she'yizoy v'mayimov, that you want to squeeze out the water. Avnoisim l'toicha kois l'toicha kara. You could put ice into a cup or bowl of liquid to cool that liquid. And there's no chashash that you're doing anything wrong. So the Rishonim debate, what is the isser of ein meraskim es hashalik? Some say it's an isser schita, it's an isser of squeezing, and some say that it's an isser noilid. You're creating a new item. And the chiddush, however, is that if you're putting it into an existing food where it's going to just melt, that isn't considered noilid, that isn't considered schita, and therefore it's mutter. There are some rishonim that say, that the Rambam says this, that if you're crushing ice, but you're crushing it directly into the cup of liquid, it's mutter. Because the Rambam obviously holds that only in a case where it's obvious that you're squeezing it and turning it into a liquid, it's also. But where it's not obvious that that's what's happening, it's mutter. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that one could take congealed meat gravy, put it near the fire, even though the heat liquefies it. Obviously, the Shulchan Aruch understands that melting ice is only usur when you crush it manually, but merely causing it to melt is mutter. And therefore, according to Rekiva Eger, says Rekiva Eger, according to the Shulchan Aruch, you could put ice in the sun to defrost it because you're not actually crushing it. The Ramah says that l'chatchila, one should refrain from liquefying congealed gravy near the stove. And the Magen Avraham says similarly, l'chatchila, you shouldn't put ice in the sun to melt.
The Shevet HaLevi discusses, are you allowed to put water in the freezer on Shabbos to make ice cubes? If the problem with our Gemara is schita, so there's obviously no schita when you're making ice cubes. However, if the concern is moiled, so just like making ice into water is considered moiled, similarly, making water into ice should be considered moiled. However, he says, since, as we just discussed, in a case where you don't actively do something, where the case where you put the ice into the sun, you put the gravy near the fire, here too, you didn't actively make it into ice. It just happens by itself when you put water into the freezer. Therefore, he says it should be mutter. But he says that's only according to the Shulchan Aruch. According to the Ramah, it should be usser, just like the Ramah says that you can't put the gravy next to the sun. So it turns out that according to the Shevet HaLevi, this is a machloikis between the Sfardim and the Ashkenazim. According to the Sfardim, it would be mutter. According to the Ashkenazim, it would be usser. However, the Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kol Chosoy says, in the name of Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and so too is the opinion of Rav Moshe Feinstein, and so too is the opinion of Deborah Tzina Rav, that everybody would agree that making ice is permitted on Shabbos. Hanulach v'metamnin, hanulach v'metamnin, hanulach v'metamnin. We begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, the next parak of Baba Behema. And the halacha is, the Torah says, two psukim. One pasuk says, Loisas kamalacha ato v'ishtacha v'chol behemtecha. The halacha is that animals are not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos. And then there's a mitzvah to say. The pasuk says, B'yom ha-shvi tishbois l'man yinuach shorcha v'chamerecha. So, from here we see that an animal is not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos, just like a human being is not allowed to do malacha. Of course, an animal who does malacha on its own, that's not usur. So if an animal goes out to graze and it picks grass, that isn't usur. Moreover, the halacha is you're not allowed to put a masa, you're not allowed to put a baggage on an animal. However, if it's a malbush, if what you're putting on the animal is something that the animal wears, then of course there is no problem of an animal wearing it on Shabbos, just like we're allowed to wear malbush on Shabbos. So our Mishnah begins to discuss b'ma behema yotz, what an animal may or may not carry on Shabbos. And of course, the Rishonim and Achronim discuss why is this perek put at this place. So Pnei Yeshua says is that we first speak about what is the halacha on Erev Shabbos. All the halachas we're discussing here are halachas of Erev Shabbos. And then we're going to go in to discuss halachas that apply on Shabbos. But of course the question is, fine, so we're talking about Erev Shabbos, but shouldn't we speak about B'mei Isha, which is the next perek, which is about a human being, which also is an Erev Shabbos? So I saw a number of terutzim to that question. One answer I saw to that question is that the halachas of B'mei Behema are much more limited than the halachas of B'mei Isha. So the Mishnah first taught those halachas. Another shot that I saw the Sfasema suggest is that the halachas in this perek are mainly issues of the Raisa. The halachas of the next perek are mainly issues of the Rabbanon. So first we speak about the Raisa, and then we speak about the Rabbanon. So as we said, there's a lav to work with your animal. That's called mechamer, if you lead your animal. But there's also a mitzvah to say that you're not allowed to let your animal work on Shabbos. Mm-hmm. So it says the Mishnah, b'ma behema yotza, what may an animal go out, or b'ma ini yotza, what may it not go out. It says the Mishnah, yotza gamel ba'asr, it could wear a halter, which is used to lead the animal. There was a rope that's tied to the animal's mouth. V'naka b'chatam, a female animal may go out with a chaitim. V'lutki b'prumbia, these will all be defined in the Gemara. V'susim b'shir, and a horse may go out with a collar. V'kob balei ashir, any animal that normally wears a collar, yoitzim b'shir, for the mshachim b'shir, may wear a collar and may be pulled by the collar.
Umezim aleim, one could sprinkle the ash of paraduma on these collars if they became tamei, even if they're on the animal's neck. They're not put there that tight that the water can't get all around. But tovlim mekaimam, or if you have to immerse them in a mikveh, you could put the animal in the mikveh with this thing around it, and it will be a kosher tefillah. Ask the Gemara, what was meant when the Mishnah says naka b'chaytam? What does that mean? A naka b'chaytam. Amar Rav b'bachana, naka sechavirta. It means a white camel, b'zmama b'parzla, with a nose ring made out of iron. We learned further in the Mishnah, v'levutkin could go out with a prumbia. What does that mean? Amar Rav Huna, chamra luba. It means a donkey from Luv could wear a parga de parzala, a metal iron, a metal bit. Says the Gemara, Levi shadah zuzi lebechazoi. Levi sent money to Bechazuzi, lemizma lechamra luba, that they should buy from him a donkey from Luv. They were particularly good donkeys. Tsaru shadah leisara. They wrapped up Levi's money and sent it back to him with some grains of barley. And they say to him, Lameim the Nigri the Chari Samri. They said that the strength of a donkey comes from the barley. Meaning you don't have to buy a good donkey, you don't have to buy our donkey. Feed your donkey well and it'll be fine. Says the Gemara. Om Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel, Machlifin Fnei Rebbe. They asked the question in front of Rebbe, Shazu Bazu. If one type of restraint is put on another type of animal than what's mentioned in the Mishnah, what is the halacha? Says the Gemara, Nafa ba'afsalay tabarach loch. If you have a female camel with a halter, there's no question. Kiven to loy menat riblei, it's not enough to restrain that animal, masihu. The question is, kitabay loch, what is the question? Gomo b'chotamai. If you want to use a camel with a nose ring, do we say, kivin desagale be'afsar, since a halter is enough, masihu, using this is considered a masli, and you may not put it on your animal? Idemon the turusha yisartu la'mrina masihu, anything which is considered extra protection is not considered a masli. Amo fana rishma b'rabi yoysu kacha ma abba, abba behemus yoytsus be'afsar. The four animals that may go out with a halter on Shabbos, hasus, the donkey, v'aperid, the mule, gomel, the donkey, the gomel is the donkey, is the camel, the chamar is the donkey. Lamuti mai, my lav, lamuti gomel, b'chotem. Isn't come to teach us that on a camel with a nose ring, it's excessive and may not be done. Says, well, Lloyd, that's not what it means. It means naka ba'afsar. Like we said before, a female camel with a halter doesn't accomplish anything, and that's why it's asar. Matznisatana, luftokim v'gomel, yoytzim ba'afsar. Luvi and donkeys, and a camel could go out with a halter. Says the Gemara. So now back to our question. Could an animal go out with an excessive shmira? Says the Gemara to Tanoi. It's a machlokes Tanoi. Ein chai yoytze b'mazgur. And a beast can't go out with a collar made out of rope. Chananyo ha'me yoytze b'sogur b'chol dova shem shtayamer. You could use a sogur or anything that protects it. Ask the Gemara, my iskinen. Ilema b'chai g'doylo. Would a collar made out of rope be enough? El b'chayi ketana. We're talking about a chayi ketana. Says the Gemara, on the contrary, milay sagar, sagilei v'sagar, isn't the rope enough for it? El alav chatolik b'nai. We're talking about a cat. Tana kamasava, that a cat, kiven the sagilei b'misna b'alma, since an ordinary rope is enough for a cat, something using something extra, masayhu. Even though it's excessive, and even though you use something that's excessive, it's still mutter to do it on Shabbos.